tonight. We appreciate all of the special music. In just a few moments, the deacons will come forward and assist me, and we'll be observing the Lord's Supper tonight. And of course, we all know as a church that this is a very special occasion that a local church has the opportunity to be a part in. We recognize the two ordinances being baptism and Lord's Supper. And tonight, as we consider the Lord's Supper, in just a few moments, as we pass the elements out to the congregation, we're reminded this evening to look up at the cross, of course, or look up at the throne room. We reflect on Calvary, and also our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts are focused upon the soon return of our Lord. But I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke chapter 23. We're going to look briefly this evening at a portion of Scripture that would certainly tie in with our observance of the Lord's Supper tonight. We're going to focus our attention this evening again upon the event of Calvary. And we're going to read tonight one verse, chapter 23 of the book of Luke, and verse number 20 or verse number 33. Chapter 23 and verse number 33. The Bible says here, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Shall we bow tonight for prayer? Our Father, thank you this evening for the privilege to again open your word and to read a portion of your word, and tonight to read especially of this particular account, this record of Scripture of the crucifixion of thy dear Son. We thank you, our Father, that Jesus did come to the place called Calvary. And we understand tonight if he had not have come to that place, then all hope would have been banished. There would be no redemption. There would be no purpose in having a service tonight. And our Father, this evening, as we anticipate the Lord's Supper in just a few moments, help us this evening, our Father, to look at our hearts, search our own hearts, our lives, reflect upon the cross, anticipate the soon return of our Savior. And Father, help us tonight to rejoice because of his glorious finished work. Lord, we know this evening we do show forth the Lord's death till he come. So, Father, bless this evening the comments, the message, and then, our Father, our time together in the Lord's Supper. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Savior's utterances at Calvary were seven in number. There have been many times down through the years that I've preached concerning those seven sayings of Christ. I've actually preached a particular message on each one of those seven sayings, seven in number. The number seven, as we know, is a very significant number. The number seven speaks of completion. It speaks of completion. I think of creation. I think of the 6 days of creation. I think on the seventh day, the Bible says God rested. We had 6 days of creation. Seventh day, God rested. The number seven, significant number. In John chapter 19, verse number 30, Jesus said it is finished. He said it is finished. That happens to be one of those wonderful seven sayings, it is finished. Some of the other sayings that Jesus uttered would include, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He uttered, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And I'm not going to mention all seven, but he certainly did utter seven sayings on the cross. I especially tonight am so thankful that he said, it's finished. I'm glad that the work of redemption is absolutely complete. Nothing to be added to it. It is finished. The question is asked, what is finished? Well, several things. For example, the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled. All of those prophecies that have been speaking, pointing towards the cross, have now reached fruition. It's finished. I think of the ceremonial law is now abolished. The serpent's head is also to be bruised. Salvation is to be provided. The redemptive plan is to be brought to pass. Jesus said, "It's finished." What a glorious word. Actually, one word in the Greek language. One word. It is finished. The Bible says, when they came to the place which is called Calvary. When they came to that place which is called Calvary, when Jesus came to that place which is called Calvary, what took place there is an event that has impacted lives of all of us here tonight. What took place at Calvary had a profound effect on even our having this service tonight. We wouldn't even be here. There would be no need of church. There would be no purpose at all in having a church on the side of the road here tonight if it wasn't for the fact he came to the place that is called Calvary. Now, what did he? The Bible says that it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." Now, just a few comments on that. What took place? He died for the sinner's pardon. He died for our pardon. The Bible says, Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." He died for sinners' peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for the sinner's purity. Hebrews 9:14, "How much more shall the blood of Jesus, or blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" He died for sinners' power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, the power of the gospel. The gospel profoundly impacted, made possible because he came to the place which is called Calvary. He died for the sinner's prospect. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, "Hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Thank God he came to the place which is called Calvary. Because he came to the place which is called Calvary, we assemble tonight. We look at these elements here before us, reminding us of the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ, causing us to look back at the cross, causing us to look up at the throne, and causing us to keep our eyes on the sky, the clouds, knowing he's coming soon. Calvary was a special place. Special place. Calvary was a place of problems. We know that. A place of problems. You say, "Pastor, in what way?" Well, let me put it like this. There was a problem of sin that was represented or dealt with at the cross. The problem of sin. Three deaths are recorded. Three deaths. Thank the Lord for the one in the middle. But three deaths. I think of the two thieves that died on both sides of Christ. One of those thieves died in sin. The other one died to sin, because I believe he was redeemed while hanging on the cross. Amen. And thank God the one in the middle died for sin. One thief died in sin. Oh, imagine that. Died close to heaven's door. The one that failed to repent, that failed to respond, he died next to the door of life. But he still rejected Christ. But that one, in the twilight of his years, recognizing the one in the middle had done nothing amiss, recognizing the one in the middle to be the Lord, the Savior, and then he cries out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus assured him that very day he'd be in paradise. Yes, on the cross, the place called Calvary, there was a problem of sin. But oh, let's not overlook the one who died on that middle cross. Let's consider the fact he died for our sins. Not his sins, because he's sinless. He never did anything wrong. He could never have been, he never could be accused of iniquity. Never, never, never. Because he's God. But yet at that point of time, Jesus bore our sins. And the sun refused to shine. The sun was eclipsed. And darkness covered this land. Immense darkness. This past Monday, when people around our country were fascinated by the eclipse of the sun as a moon passed before the sun. And there was a point of time in certain places of this country, the sun could not be seen. Well, I would say there was a blackout at Calvary when our sins were being dealt with in the person of our Savior. No one could even see that sun. And I'm talking about S-O-N. They could not see him because the sun was eclipsed. That darkness had covered that land. And during that time, when Jesus died on that cross, every sin that a human being has ever committed or ever will commit was placed upon him. And the Father turned his back on his Son. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Imagine that. He came to the place which is called Calvary. Problem of sin. But had not he taken care of that problem of sin, you and I would be in sin tonight. Had not he taken care of that problem of sin, we would be hopelessly lost forever and ever and ever. There would be no need of any church service at all. Because there's no hope for anyone if Christ had not come to that place called Calvary. I see the problem of sin at Calvary. I see the problem of suffering at Calvary. The problem of suffering. Psalm 22. Isaiah 53. Many we could talk about. The problem of suffering. He suffered in our stead. But none of the suffering that happened because of what man put upon him could ever compare to the suffering from the hand of God. It must have been a terrible thing that his hands were pierced and the cross was driven through the palms of his hands and he's stretched out between heaven and earth, unable to breathe, and every breath is a struggle. A long, slow, agonizing death, the death of the cross. It must have been a terrible thing. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ still was in control. Because he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He was able to dismiss his spirit himself. That day at Calvary. But the problem was suffering. But again, I'll say it again tonight as I've said it many times. There's no suffering that we will ever be able to understand like the suffering that he suffered that night or that day at Calvary when God judged him in our stead. How could it be? I struggle with that. I cannot understand that. How can God become a sin substitute? And he was, that you and I tonight could go free. He came to the place which is called Calvary. A place of problems. The problem of sin. The problem of suffering. And I see the problem of stupidity that took place at the cross. You say, in what way, preacher? What about the one who said, save thyself. Come down from the cross. Save thyself. That's a statement of stupidity. Of course, the person did not understand what they were saying. If he would have saved himself, you and I would not be saved. If he would have rescued himself from becoming our penalty, you and I tonight would not be saved. I'm glad he did not save himself. I'm glad he went through with it. He came to the place which is called Calvary. A place of problems. A place of prayer. A place of prayer. Seven sayings uttered. Those seven sayings of Christ, three were addressed to God. four were addressed to man. Then finally, Calvary, a place of problems, a place not only of problems, but a place of prayer, but a place of preeminence. You miss Calvary, you're doomed. You fail to come there by faith, you're doomed. There's no hope for anyone that bypasses Calvary. If one of those criminals could die next to the door of salvation and go to hell, be sure to know that there's no possibility to die without God for anybody. That man died next door to the door of salvation and died and went to hell. Yet, my friend, he was no closer to opportunity than any here today. No closer to opportunity. Today is a day of salvation. I think of the Lord's blessed words he gave to that one thief that woke up in the twilight of his life and said, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That man parted this life, died from the cross, and slipped into glory. I'll tell you, it's amazing, the thing called grace, isn't it? God would save a man hanging on the cross and take him to paradise that day with him. And that's exactly what happened. You know what? It makes me not tonight want to rejoice in my soul to know that my God totally took care of the sin debt at the cross. It makes me rejoice tonight in my soul to know that Jesus not only came to Calvary, but Jesus conquered at Calvary. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He took care of sin's debt fully. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. That's what he did at the cross. You know, we never get tired of singing those songs about the cross, do we? At the cross where I first saw the light. Old, rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. When I survey the wondrous cross from which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my pride. Keep singing about Calvary. We want to keep preaching about it. We want to keep thinking about it. And tonight we certainly are thinking about it as we observe the Lord's Supper tonight. I trust this evening every one of you in this building have been to Calvary by faith. If you haven't been, you're in a terrible predicament. If you have been, then rejoice. And let's celebrate the victory at Calvary tonight by virtue of the observance of the Lord's Supper. We hold that wafer tonight momentarily in our hands. Let's be reminded this evening that His precious body was broken. He was crucified on that cross. As we take that wine, that fruit juice, that grape juice, and place it on our lips and drink that juice tonight, let's be reminded of His precious, precious blood that He shed. I'll tell you, it's a wondrous time. Let's bow for prayer.